not paying attention to what's going on around us, then we're not an obstacle. We are not a problem. We've got to get loud. We have to get together. We have to unite. And once we do that, once we get that effort going together, then the public is going to make an issue of this. And if you think the public doesn't care, even if the public cares about nothing but their billfold, how much with their paycheck, what could they provide for their family if the government had to get out of their paycheck? What could they provide for their children in the way of education that they could not provide today? Yes, that matters to them, and it will be an issue that matters to them, if only out of their own self-interest. Those of us who are devoted to the Constitution and to the rule of law do it because we know that's what's best. If somebody else does the right thing for the wrong reason, at least the right thing is getting done. We're doing it because it's the right thing. And whenever we get up and we stand up, they will see that it's the right thing, just like we saw right away the minute these demonstrations were making an issue of our racially based laws, that we knew right away that was wrong. We knew that that could not be justified. They will know the truth, too, the minute that we sound off. It's going to take all of us getting together. It's going to take all of us working together. So let's get over to the truthattack.org. Let's get signed on. Let's get to work. Let's start writing those letters. As soon as we have a database assembled, or they have a database assembled, they will be putting everybody together with everybody else. As soon as they have a schedule, there will be schedules where you can look up and see where the hot spots, where the IRS meetings in progress, where I can go and say, leave that man alone. Where I can go and say, stop taking everybody's money, you're not entitled to it. Where I can go and say, follow the law. Obey the law. I'll obey it. You have to obey it. Those are things that are absolute truths. Those are things that nobody can deny, nobody can argue with. But it has to be said for the public to make an issue of it. And when that happens, then the public will respond, and it'll respond and force the government to respond. Well, it looks like our top of the hour break is... All right. Well, so let's at least introduce Roy in California.
Yeah, Roy. Basically, I had questions regarding the on your case. Why aren't you making the argument of the once there's a I guess a conviction, wouldn't that be a little too late to introduce or to enter a PRA argument? For Paper Reduction Act, and maybe you can explain to us what that means.
Okay, now I lost the first part of it. I missed out on the first part of your question, but you ended up with a PRA. And so I'm assuming that's what you're wondering, why I haven't raised a motion on that?
Correct.
Oh, okay. That's a simple question, a good, honest, straightforward question, and it deserves an honest, straightforward answer. Two things. One, the PRA can be raised at any stage of the proceeding. It is not something that has to be preserved in advance. It can be raised at any stage of the proceeding, any time.
Okay.
And if you're familiar with the PRA, you know that it does, the statute specifically states that the defense can be raised at any time during the course of the court proceeding. The second reason is the big one. I don't want this case going off on the PRA. I'm not looking for some technical out for people to be able to get out until they put a patch on that. I'm not looking for some way to set up a new method or scheme by which we can defeat the application of the tax. And I'm gonna hold you on, Roy, because you've got a solid question, and we do need to discuss it further. But we are finally at the top of the hour, five after. I tell you, we need money for new equipment up here now. So, bear in mind, I gave you that address and I gave you the website. But we'll talk more about this when we get back from this break.
found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
And we're back up to the top of the hour, and going into the second half of the Live Free Zone today. We've got Roy on from California, isn't it, Roy?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right, good. Your question on the PRA is a good one, and do you understand or you agree with me that the PRA issue can be raised at any time? I don't have to raise that pretrial.
Right, I understand that, but it sounds to me like you just want to take the IRS head on the validity of taxes. But I mean, obviously that's a choice of yours. But
what you just said just put it in perspective perfectly. I'm taking it on the validity of the taxes, okay, not the validity of the tax form.
But everyone, you know, as you know, for close to 100 years, everyone has lost the argument about the constitutionality of taxes, the word income and the wages. And I understand you're an attorney and all, but at the same time, I'm not sure if ignorance of the law is going to be acceptable to your standard because of your profession.
Oh, okay. I'll tell you what, I couldn't have given you a script that had you do better than you do. We're gonna keep you on here and work some more with this. And by the way, if you want to join Roy and I here today on the Life Free Zone, you can get on the program at 1-800-313-9443. Roy, what you have with this is the situation that up until now, although you have had about 90 years or 90-some-odd years of income tax in this country, you haven't had 90 years of litigation challenging the validity of the taxing authority on wages. Now, the fact is that that issue has never been raised as a matter of law. Now, you also dovetailed your question into the issue of the defense of ignorance of the law. Ignorance of the law is not actually the defense. I'm being a little hyper-technical with you, but I want to make sure that I don't promote any misunderstandings. But the defense that is generally raised in these tax cases is that the individual reasonably believed, had a reasonable belief and a factual belief that he was not required to file. That's a different defense from ignorance. I didn't know I had to file. It's that I had a belief that I did not have to file. And that's what the jury generally gets, and it's a fact issue. Now, fact issues are not generally subject to appeal, or they are subject to appeal, but on a totally different standard. The standard of appeal on fact issues is there has to be no law, no facts or no evidence supporting the factual conclusion. Whereas an issue of law, it's either right or it's wrong, and there is no sway given the trier of law, and that's the court. But it's never been raised, the issue of wages, from a legal standpoint. It has been raised from the issue of wages being income or not income, or whether it's all income or not all income, has been raised with respect to somebody's belief as to whether they were required to file or pay, not as to whether or not it was correct.
But these arguments, my understanding is that the courts do not allow any law, like in the Irwin Schiff case, they do not allow any law to enter into their courtroom. My understanding is the courtroom is to enter facts.
You're doing great. Yes, that's true. Now, there's one exception to that, and that is whenever you're talking about what someone read. Now, if I were to go in there, as many have done, and particularly these pro se's have done, and what Irwin Schiff attempted to do was to put witnesses up to testify as to what the law was, and they were summarily set right back down. They were not allowed to come in and testify as to what the law is because the judge only wants the jury to hear what he says the law is. Okay.
Now, is that because no bill of particulars are entered?
No, that's because you've already stated it very correctly, and that is that the jury is there to try the facts. Okay? Now technically, we could argue about jury nullification as a jury really is a trier of the facts and the law. But you cannot try. You're not going to be permitted to introduce evidence that this is a law. Now, let's peel another layer of skin off of that. What you can do, however, is you can tell the jury and show the jury what you looked at that made you believe that you are not required to file and that the tax does not apply to you. Now, that means that if you read Supreme Court cases and you read statutes and you read regulations that led you to believe that, you're entitled to tell the jury and to show the jury what it was that made you believe what you believe. Now, that's not to tell the jury that this is the law. That's to tell the jury this is what I read, this is what I saw, this is what I looked at. And based on these things, I formulated this belief. Now, for a guy to be told, we're trying you on the fact of your belief as to whether or not you knew there was a known legal duty on your part to file a return or to pay a tax. If we do that, then we've got to give that guy an opportunity to show what it was that he saw that maybe somebody else didn't see that made him believe differently. Now, that's a fact issue. That comes down to a fact issue of whether or not this particular defendant knowingly violated a legal duty. Now, in this case, we know, you know, I know, that I have no legal duty because the law doesn't make me liable for the tax. I have no legal duty to file a return because the filing of a return is required only if you owe. And we already know the thing in the law makes me liable. We also have another provision that says that if you earn gross receipts or gross income in excess of the standard exemption, you're required to file whether you owe or not. At least that's what they say it says. It's really tied to the first.
So in your case, you're not going on the good faith defense, which I think it's called the cheek defense. You're not going on that. You're taking them head on that, hey, there is no law that requires one to file an income tax return. Because there's only four classes. I think I've read your brief. There's only four classes of individuals that have to pay or report an income tax, and that is the non-resident aliens, foreign corporations, withholding agents, and U.S. citizens residing abroad earning income.
So you're absolutely right, but it's being raised twice. Okay, it's being raised in the motions, and that's what makes this case unique. This case raises these issues of law in motions to dismiss ahead of the trial. The difference between this case and, say, some of the others that you've referred to, like Irwin Schiff's case, they sought to try the law to the jury. I'm not trying to try the law to the jury. I will be, you know, explaining to the jury why I do not consider myself obligated to file a return or pay a tax. However, that's not over what the law is. The issue of what the law is being tried to the judge and then to the appeal court if necessary. And those issues of law have been now placed into the record, and they're on the table for the first time. Now, I don't know, and I can't explain why attorneys haven't raised these issues before. I know that when they have raised other types of issues, such as back in the early 90s when the PRA was raised, before it was beefed up in 95, and Congress says, yes, we are talking about tax returns. Then in that particular instance, there were a number of attorneys that were sanctioned, were burned, were punished for having brought these things forward because the court was trying to nip this in the bud. But these are legitimate, sound constitutional arguments that are entitled to be considered and ruled on. They're entitled to be looked at. And the problem is that when they look at them, there's no way out. I mean, the Supreme Court has painted, has made it very clear what the law is.
Don't you think that 7201 needs to be bifurcated? Because one of them, they're discussing assessment. And the other one, they're talking about a non-payment of an assessment that you supposedly they have made or you have made, and I don't see how come. I mean, this is a penalty phase. 7201 is a penalty phase, and that in itself is not should be, in my opinion, should be bifurcated into two. I mean, how do we know which one are you being charged with, an assessment or the failure to pay an assessment?
Well, there's a difference between a failure to pay an assessment and an evasion. An evasion can occur without an assessment ever having occurred. Now, there are some that would argue with me on that, but the act of evasion is any affirmative act that is designed to defeat the execution of a lawful tax. All right, so, of course, now in this case, I've got arguments about every single one of those elements. The other provision, this punitive, you know, is the failure to file, willful failure to file. It's a misdemeanor charge, although they can invoke punishment well in excess of the typical misdemeanor type of sentences. But those laws, whether they should or shouldn't be drafted in a different way, you probably could argue that. I think that's you're looking at it from a very practical standpoint. That's a good way to look at it. But you have to remember, we're trying law to the court this time, not to the jury. Okay,
yes,
well, I appreciate the call, Roy. You've been great. It's been a great discussion. And we're going to pick back up with this. Call us at 1-800-313-3368. 9443.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Zionist plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is a Zionist and how Congress is controlled by the Zionists. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heat up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
And we're back here at the Live Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer, the bad peasant, the insolent one, the non-curtsier. The last caller, Roy, had raised some terrific questions. I just want to recap on one point there before we move on. And that is that the biggest mistake that most of these folks make is that they attempt to try the law to the jury. They think they're going to get in here and they're going to tell the jury what the law really is, and the jury will say, okay, well, I don't believe the judge, I believe him, so he's right and the judge is wrong. That's not the way that it works. The way it works is you argue the law to the court. You try the facts to the jury. The difference that we're doing in this particular case is that we've done just that. We are arguing the law to the court for the first time. For the first time, these issues on the constitutional authority of the federal government tax, the restrictions that are imposed on direct taxes, the issuance of taxes against personal and fundamental rights, not privileges. These issues are for the first time before the court now, and they're in the court system. They're in the legal side of the court system. Every trial has two sides of it. One is on the law, and the other is on the facts. As if where the rubber meets the road, the law and the facts come together. And we're trying the law with the courts on their side. And we're trying the facts to the jury. We're going to swing with everything we have. And we are going to defend with everything we have. But we're also pressing these constitutional issues for the first time. They haven't been tried before. They haven't been ruled on before. They haven't been advanced up and through to the Supreme Court for a ruling on these particular issues. So let's move on to our next caller. We got Bill in West Virginia. What you got on, Bill? You mind?
Yes, sir. So again, Tommy, it's a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
Is it not correct that the Supreme Court ruled that the 16th Amendment did not give the Treasury Department any new powers to tax?
Okay, I'm gonna be a hair splitter with you here, Bill. Treasury Department has no powers to tax.
No, but the IRS is under the Treasury.
That's right, but they have no power to tax. All they can do is execute taxes. I know. That's why I said I'm apologizing in advance that I am being a little technical. But you know, when you don't point these things out, that's where misunderstandings occur. All taxes have to come from Congress.
Yes.
Not from the IRS or from the Treasury Department. But, yeah, now, to get back to your question, the Supreme Court has held in Bruce Haber and in Stanton and, you know, the Baltic Mining and, you know, a multitude of cases that the 16th Amendment granted no additional taxing authority to the federal government. There's not anything that they can tax today that they could not tax in 1912. You there?
Yes, sir. I agree. Totally agree with you.
And the problem is that the IRS and the Treasury Department and the government are contending that they have a carte blanche now to tax anything just by calling it income. And that's where the nut of the fight is.
By what authority?
Yes, that's it. You couldn't have said it better. By what authority? Now, the tax code does not define income. It defines gross income. But it defines gross income as income derived from, and it lists out a bunch of activities. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. But it's income derived from. So income is income. All right. So that's not a definition. The reason, there's a good reason why it doesn't define. If you could define income any way you wanted to, you could define the 16th Amendment any way you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that a part of the Constitution gave Congress the power to regulate railroads. And they say any road that goes both ways, whether it's on rail or pavement or whatever upon which vehicles move, is now designated as a railroad. That would then, you know, extend that to everything else. Well, you know, I know that's a sort of an overly simplistic example, but overly simplistic examples work the best. And that is that if Congress can define the words in the Constitution, they can define what the Constitution says.
But the Constitution is very well written, simple language, easy to understand.
Right.
And that's why I take the position that 80% of the laws that are passed by Congress are unconstitutional.
Well, I don't know about your percentage, but I'm not far from you. I do know that I did, in writing this book that I'm about halfway through called Liberty Lost, I had just gone public with that, notifying people that, we're just kind of hungry to break. Oh, can you stay over?
Yes, sir.
All right, because we want to talk about that. We'll be back here in just a few minutes. You can get on with Bill and I here at 1-800-313-9443 here on the Live Free Zone.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, Clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
And welcome back to the Lot Free Zone. I was talking to Bill in West Virginia, and we're talking about the 16th Amendment's effect on the federal taxing authority. Bill, the Constitution is clearly written. It doesn't require, it's not rocket science.
That's correct, sir. And don't be offended, but it doesn't take an attorney to interpret it.
And if it did take an attorney to interpret it, it would be badly written.
That's right.
I believe if it takes an attorney to interpret the law is badly written. And that's part of the problem that you have with the tax code is it's intentionally written in a confusing and obtuse manner so that people cannot understand it, and therefore they can't sit here and argue with an IRS agent that, the law didn't say that, it said this, because it's all so twisted and convoluted. That's intentional. That is not, you don't accidentally create a can of worms.
Yes, sir.
But you're absolutely right. I mean, one of the things that is really the foundation of our legal system and our political and government system is the right to due process. Due process, you know, from the Magna Carta, right?
Yes, sir.
And one part of due process is this. If you do not know, if you haven't been given notice that a particular law went into effect, or if you haven't been given notice of what is expected of you or what you are expected not to do, then it'd be fundamentally unfair to punish someone where they hadn't been notified, wouldn't it?
Can I ask you another question?
Sure.
How does this go from state district court up to federal court?
How does which go?
How does your IRS case?
Oh, okay. Well, my IRS case originated in federal court. All federal charges, all federal criminal proceedings and accusations originate in federal court. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes there are disputes that involve IRS rights, IRS interests or federal interests, and those cases can then be removed from state court, transferred. We call it removal, but it can be transferred from state court to the federal court. The court says, we're going to take this over, we're going to handle this. But that's not the case here. In my case, it originated in federal court, started there.
Mm-hmm.
But in all of these types of cases, they start here. And that's in federal. Now, we do have some cases that do get removed from state to federal courts, but this isn't one of them.
No, with that Brown's case, it got removed from state district.
I'm not familiar enough with the procedural background of Ed Brown's case. I think that Ed Brown's case was a criminal case in federal court, and while he may have had a dispute that was removed or some sort of other proceeding that was removed from state court, the proceeding where he and his wife were subjected to criminal trial had to have originated with an indictment in federal court itself.
Mm-hmm.
But you might have some other, and here I'm going to throw another word out here, ancillary, meaning sideshows.
Right.
Okay. Ancillary proceedings going on that may have originated in state court, but those would not have originated by action by the federal government. The federal government always initiates its actions, its legal actions, in federal court.
Okay.
They want to play on their home field.
Well, when you get in the courtroom, you're supposed to all be on equal ground.
Yeah. Yeah. But that, the tooth fairy, and what's the joke about an honest lawyer in Santa Claus?
Yes, sir.
You know. there are very few of us left, Bill. I can't help but take the opportunity to tell a little story here at this point. A while back, I was in a little rural court out here, not far from Shreveport, and a young lawyer walked up to me and he said, "Aren't you Mr. Cryer?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I'm afraid so." And he said, "Well, boy," he grasped my hand, he said, "I'm sure glad to meet you, you know, I'm so, you know," he says, "my daddy knows you." I said, "Well, then I probably know your dad." And so he tells me his name, and I said, "Well, you know, I think I do know your dad." I said, "Known him many, many years." And he says, yeah, you know him all right. He said, "He was talking about you just the other night." And I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "I hope he wasn't too hard on me." And he says, "Nah," he said, "you were one of the dinosaurs." I said, "What?" And he says, "Yeah, you're one of the dinosaurs." He says, you know, straight arrow, the truth has always got to be good enough, always do the right thing, client comes first, you know, a dinosaur. In other words, a dying breed.
Yes, sir.
And I said, "In that case, I think I'll take that as a compliment then. But we are a dying breed. And well, we can turn that around too. And we can work on that. But first off, we've got to get everybody free."
Oh, I don't know if you understand it or not or see it this way, but I think this country is boiling right below the surface.
And in what way, Bill?
Anger.
Frustration.
At the government.
I believe you're right. I believe that people have had enough.
And there are those people that I talk to believe it's reaching critical mass.
Well, I would hope that it reaches critical mass in a way, though, that can help it resolve the problem within the system. Because, let me tell you something, maybe I'm cynical. Maybe, but I've studied the Constitution for the last 40 years. I mean, a devout student. I'm probably one of the few people that you know who have read all Jimmy Madison's notes on the convention, have read all of the any Federalist papers, and read all of the Federalist papers. And I dig through everything I can get my hands on when it comes to the Constitution. I'm convinced that if we had that to do today, we could not accomplish it. I'm convinced that we would be totally incapable of drafting another document that was as correct and as wise and as prudent as that one.
Well, I believe the hand of God was there.
Well, I don't have any doubt in that either. I said, you know, tell you what, I'll give you a little story there too. You know, early on, they got stymied. They came in with the Virginia Plan right away, and of course that was more or less to scrap the Articles of Confederation rather than to amend them into a constitution. Because Articles of Confederation were not a constitution; they were strictly a mutual defense treaty, like NATO.
Mm-hmm.
And they scrapped that, and then they got bogged down and couldn't get anywhere. And finally, Ben Franklin, I don't know if he stood up or not because he was suffering from gout so bad he couldn't stand, but Ben Franklin spoke up, and he said, you know, he said, it might not be a bad idea for us to, each day when we start our meeting, invoke the blessing of the Almighty. And so that motion was discussed. And although there was never really a record of the vote taken, the following day they did begin that practice. And from that point forward, that Constitution just fell together. And some of the most brilliant decisions and brilliant ideas that were come up with during that convention came up after Ben Franklin's suggestion was followed. So, yeah, I think there was a hand there. I think that... We the people formed that, but I think we had help, and I don't think we could duplicate that effort. I don't think that the people today are capable of thinking in terms of fairness and justice and restricted government the way that those people did.
We remember that less than 10% of the people participated in the Revolution.
I've heard 3%, 10%, 20%, and what happened was is that it started, it depends on where you want to make the mark. At the time that the Declaration of Independence was inked, probably it was 3% was closer. The revolution was not popular. The rebellion, the insurrection by the militias running around, they were considered to be a bunch of hooligans, a bunch of ingrates. You know, most of these people were loyal British subjects. And they had disagreements, and they griped and they grumbled just like people in England did. But this one vocal group that was standing up and saying, hey, we're not going to sit here and just be dictated to without having a say in it. And, you know, they weren't demanding anything that the people back home had. You know, didn't have. They were demanding the same thing that the other English subjects had, a right to representation in the Parliament. But the later on, that number grew significantly. And as military occupation was imposed by England, and that military occupation was oppressive, they would come in and loot. They didn't requisition, they looted. They took whatever they want. They would dispossess homeowners and take over their houses. Mm. That's why we have the quartering of troops restricted in the U.S. Constitution. Many of the Bill of Rights came as a direct result of British oppression during the military occupation. And that military occupation went a long way to bringing people's thinking around. And then the successes, of course, that occurred over the course of the Revolution, they didn't happen until later on, but the successes that did occur also helped people have enough confidence that maybe this would work to where I'll climb on board. So by the time the Revolution was over, though, that number was far greater than 10%. But you're right. It all started with somebody like our little group that knew the truth, that this was wrong. And they got out and they did something about it. And by the time it was all said and done, only about 100,000 people opted to leave the colonies and to go back to England.
Well, to go back to your case, does the court intend to answer your brief?
Their answer to the brief was motion denied. They have no intention of addressing legal issues in that brief. They can't. The court cannot discuss, cannot come up with any legal authority to refute any of that brief. Have you read the brief?
I've read a lot of it, sir.
Okay. It's, I know it's not an easy read, but it, it sets out all of the issues, statutory and constitutional. And while that first constitutional issue relative to whether or not, or second, relative to whether or not the practice of law is something that's under exclusive state control and under Farrington v. Tennessee is outside of the tax authority, doesn't apply to most folks, but all the rest of them do. And that's, but the brief raises issues that cannot be refuted. Now, other motions are filed, too. You know, that, that also they could not refute. Start off with the motion you've read the brief on or are reading, and that is where the it says there's no liability provision. Well, how do you counter that? You counter that by saying, yeah, it is, here it is. They couldn't do that.
They can't.
And so he all he could do is shrug his shoulders, and the judge says, well, that looks good enough for me. Same thing on the other motions that you haven't seen unless you've gone on the PACER, you know, going into the the court record. But is a motion saying that that the Department of Treasury has never, since 95 or so, whenever the Congress said from now on, the Secretary will designate the tax rates and he, with adjustments for CPI. He's never done that. Since 95, we haven't had a tax rate. Now, I said, we don't have a tax rate, we don't have a tax. The only way to refute that is to say, yeah, here's where the tax rate was promulgated. Now, granted, at that point, if it had happened, there would have been a constitutional issue as to whether setting tax rates is something Congress can delegate to the executive branch. But it never happened, so that's not an issue. All they had to do, though, was to show, yeah, here's the congressional, I mean, here's the Federal Register, and showing that this was published and promulgated, but it didn't there. But all they could do is shrug their shoulders, and the judge says, well, that's good enough for me.
Well, sadly, what a lot of this just illustrates is there's no separation of powers.
Oh, you got that one right. All the three branches have twisted themselves into an impenetrable trunk, a single unit, which is exactly what George Washington warned about, what all the founding fathers warned about, that the separation of the three branches and three different roles of government is crucial to maintaining the republic. And they've done that. You know, you see examples of that every day. Congress, in all of their micro management oversight, and I heard a congressman on the news a while back saying, we have a constitutional duty of oversight. Show me where you have a constitutional duty to oversee the executive department. It's not there.
It isn't there. Never was there.
Never was there, and yet, I mean, they keep talking about these things as though they've existed for 200 years, and they've never existed. You got it at the same time. You have a judge. Where was that, in St. Louis? I believe it was, where the judge actually levied a property tax to pay for changes he wanted in their local school system.
Goodness gracious.
He personally supervised the design and construction of new school buildings. Now, I mean, what's going on with this? Right here in Louisiana, a federal judge took over the day-to-day operation of Angola, the Louisiana State Prison. And they had to report to him every day on their numbers and who was in what and where. And he would tell them whether that was okay or not. I mean, that's not only crossing the branches, but it's crossing into state prerogatives. That's none of his business.
That's right.
This is a state prison, and he's a federal judge. What's he got to say about that? Absent some cruel and unusual punishment being imposed, you know, and then all he can say is, hey, you got to stop beating your prisoners. But he can't go in and run the prison, and that's what he did.
Then he's got, may sound harsh, and it's time to bring impeachment charges against a lot of people for not upholding the Constitution.
Well, it's like the cop was talking in a documentary a while back, an ex-cop talking about dirty cops. He said, we're the police. Who's going to catch us? Well, who's going to catch the government? That's what the courts are supposed to be for, and they're just as corrupted in it as anybody.
Well, I believe it's going to be angry citizens in the end.
I'm afraid you're right, and I'm hoping that it's angry citizens doing this in a reasonable and political manner instead of bringing the house down and starting over, because, like I said, I don't think we can build that house again.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
Over a lot of time.
Yeah, well, I don't think we could do it.
Okay,
well, thanks, Bill. I appreciate the call.
Again, it's a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
And we'll be back here wrapping it up here in a few minutes on the Live Free Zone.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering. World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action!
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
And coming into the stretch, here for this week's segment of the Live Free Zone, this is Tom Cryer, the bad peasant, the insolent one, the non-curtsier. Oh, I'm a bad guy. And I, on my bad guy side, here we are. I'm having to sit here and say, I'm sorry I haven't kept everybody updated on the cases as many have wondered what was going on. I hope I've cured some of that ill and that oversight on my part. Today, I will be getting an update out, I promise. It'll be getting emailed out to all the folks that I can email it out to. And hopefully you guys will forward it on out. If you're not receiving my updates, you can go to LifeFreeZone, LifeFreeZone.com. Click Contact Mr. Cryer up at the top and email me and say, include me on your update list. I'll be happy to do that. The folks that are taking an interest in this case is somebody that, those are people I am eternally grateful to have. It's good to know that I'm not by myself in this. I may be the only one who's got it, you know what, in the sling and in the ringer, but, you know, I know I'm not the only one that cares, and that makes a big difference to me. It helps me carry on. The contributions that you folks make, make a difference. It's going to make a difference between whether I have to defend this thing out of a cardboard box or whether I can defend this thing the way it needs to be defended. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. And I hope for some continued support in that department. We're not there yet. Now, with respect to the Republic Broadcast Network we talked about earlier, I did, and I have to also correct here, this is an atonement segment here, I guess. I have to correct the fact that I failed to give out the number for those who wish to call and contribute to the cost of keeping this network operating and keeping the broadcast going out at 1-800-724-2719. If you don't want to contribute online or for whatever reason, you can call that number and make a contribution. The network needs to continue to function. It needs to continue to operate. You can also do some business with their store. You'll have something to show for that. Or you can go to the donations page, and they do have gifts in exchange, in appreciation for donations there. But they do need to help get with it and help us pull this wagon. We're all trying to do our part. Finally, I want to wrap up today reminding everyone that we've got to stand up together. If we all stand up, they can't do a thing to us. The IRS doesn't fear any one of us. They don't fear me. They don't fear you. But they are terrified of all of us. And when all of us stand up, they cannot deal with that. They cannot file a suit against all of us. All those people out there. Oh, that's who I'm going to go after. All those people, they can't do that. And if we stand up all together and we unite our voices, we will be heard. So go to truthattack.org. Do it today. And get your True Trooper kit. Enlist. Get your True Trooper kit downloaded. And get to work with us. All right? And until next time, we'll see you back here next week on the Live Free Zone.